Our sermon title today is From One Garden to Another, but it really could be From One Garden to Another Garden to Another Garden to Another Garden. So we're going to cover four gardens today. Our sermon series began with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night that he was arrested. We were reminded from Matthew 26, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." And it is interesting that on this morning of Easter, we find ourselves in another garden. As we heard earlier from John 20, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. Mary Magdalene was a very prominent figure in the Gospels. Jesus had freed her from the seven demons that plagued her, and she had become a very devout follower. I would argue that she was among many other women disciples that don't get the credit that they deserved. There is evidence that leads us to believe that Mary Magdalene came from a wealthy family and that she, along with other women, were the primary financial benefactors to the ministry of Jesus. A bunch of women supporting a bunch of men who weren't walking or weren't working, going from town to town. They needed money, and most scholars believe that it was these women who financially supported them. The accounts of the crucifixion indicate that Mary was a devoted follower to the end. Three of the four Gospels specifically name Mary Magdalene as one of the women who were present at the cross. And early in the morning, Mary Magdalene comes to the Garden of Tombs. And upon seeing the tomb empty, she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." And as we heard earlier, Peter and John come running, and they take a peek inside, and they agree that the body of Jesus was indeed gone. They believed her. She's not lying. It's gone. Jesus is gone. And then what do? Being the brave men they are, they hightail it back to their hiding place. And they leave poor Mary Magdalene all alone. In verse 11, it says, "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying." We have two sorrowful people in a garden. Jesus, the night before his death, remember our whole sermon series was about the garden and how he was in deep sorrow. And now we find Mary the morning after the Sabbath in a garden, and she is in deep sorrow. And what amazing courage Mary has shown to this point. Stood by and watched the crucifixion. She made plans to come back and honor Jesus by finishing his burial, doing it right. And then she had the courage to go chase down Peter and John when she saw the tomb was empty. And now it sets in. She is sorrowful because now things have gone from bad to worse. Not only did Jesus predict his death happened on the cross. He was hastily buried, and if that wasn't bad enough, now the body is gone. Have you ever had that moment in life? When you were going through a really tough time and you were battling and surviving until that one more bad thing happens and it just breaks you. I can't take any more. I'm broken. That point when you're just completely overwhelmed, when it feels like the whole world has just come crashing down on you. I think this was that moment for Mary. Everything that she believed in, everything she had hoped for, all of it seems to have been ripped away from her in this moment. She couldn't even finish the burial. And the scripture says, as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken away my Lord," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." And in her distress, Mary completely overlooks that there are angels. These men dressed in white, that should be very odd to see two men sitting in a tomb dressed in white, but she is in such distress, she overlooks and continues her search. These angels are special messengers from God. They had the message that she needed to hear. If she would have stood there and listened, they would have given her the whole message. But like most of us, I think there are times when we miss the obvious. When God is trying to speak to us and we are not listening, we are so consumed with ourselves that we miss what God has given us. And after missing the angels, she even misses Jesus. Verse 14, at this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. And he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" It is interesting for Jesus to ask her this. Who is it you are looking for? You see, Mary is seeking the dead Jesus. If Mary had been paying attention, if the disciples had been paying attention to all that Jesus taught leading up to his death, they should have been looking for the alive Jesus. Shouldn't that have been the first thought? Wow, Jesus just did an awesome miracle, right? I mean, they saw Lazarus walk out of the tomb. Why wouldn't they assume Jesus was alive and that he had walked out of the tomb? Who is it you are looking for? And I think that's a good question for all of us. Who is it that you are looking for? Are you looking for a dead Jesus or an alive Jesus? Are you looking for a myth, a fable, a story, or are you really seeking the Son of God, the Savior of the world? And as we continue the story, thinking that he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." And here we are, Mary and Jesus in this garden. The events of the crucifixion begin in a garden with Jesus. The events of the resurrection also begin in a garden. We find sorrow in both gardens. And we also see people looking for Jesus in both gardens. Right? In the other garden, Judas was looking to betray Jesus, right? Here, Mary sought to weep over him. Both misunderstood what Jesus came to do. Neither Judas nor Mary expected Jesus to die. Neither Judas nor Mary really understood that Jesus came to begin the restoration of the first garden. So now we're going to go back to the first garden. All the way back to Genesis, it was in the Garden of Eden that we see the fall of man. It was in the Garden of Eden that man sinned. It was in the Garden of Eden that man was separated from God. It was in the Garden of Eden that God's creation became tainted by the fall. Jesus became the resolution to the problem of sin and separation from God. Jesus came to establish a new kingdom, a kingdom not of this world. He came to establish a new covenant, a covenant that brings eternal life to all who believe. And by his death, his burial, and his resurrection, he has proclaimed victory over Satan. He has proclaimed victory over the sin and the death from the Garden of Eden when man first sinned. And here in the Garden of the Tomb, we find the redemption of mankind. Mary doesn't understand this yet. She thought she had lost everything. All she wants to do is recover his body when she hears the gardener say, "Mary." She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni!" And here at this point, Mary is just happy that Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive and he's not dead. That is her mindset right now. She's excited that he's not dead. The person that means everything to her is not dead, but is alive. But see, she's only thinking from an earthly perspective. Jesus reminded her that he still had something greater to do. Verse 17, Jesus says, "Don't hold on to me." Meaning, don't hold on to my present physicalness. "For I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." In these instructions to Mary, Jesus is referring to the promises that he made at the Last Supper. John 14 says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms, and if that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." See, Jesus is telling his followers about the heavenly kingdom. The same heavenly kingdom where we find the new garden that has the tree of life. From Revelation 22. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. There will not be need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever." Mary remembered these promises, and the scripture in John says that Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Basically, she was running in saying, "I've seen the Lord, and he's kept his promises. I have seen the Lord. He's going to prepare a place for us. I have seen the Lord. Eternal life with God is waiting for us. Mary went from the pit of despair to the joy of proclamation. It is amazing how life-changing it is to hear the voice of Christ. Mary's life was turned around again when Jesus said, "Mary." And in their conversation, she was reminded of these wonderful promises that were given to his followers. And this is what should happen to each of us when we walk with him and we talk with him. I think all of us need to take a walk with Jesus in the garden. In the garden, we see the loving and personal Jesus who wants to call each of us by name. And when we hear that call, and when we hear that voice, it should bring us joy. Right? Isn't that what the song says? Brings us joy. And what did Mary do? She went and proclaimed to her brothers, to the other disciples, saying, "He is alive. I have seen the Lord. He is the keeper of promises, and he has work yet to do." And folks, we are his church, and we are to continue that work. Let us go and proclaim the good news that Jesus is alive, that he has risen and triumphed over sin, triumphed over death, and has promises for us yet to come. Now, as we prepare to leave here and go and share in a wonderful meal, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this wonderful and glorious day. We thank you for the exciting news that Jesus is risen, that the tomb is empty, that he is no longer there. And we are grateful that he has ascended to the Father and is prepared to come back and complete his work. And Lord, as we gather together in celebration, may you just bless our time together. We thank you for those who have prepared many things to share and to eat, but more importantly, we thank you for the good news that we get to share. May you bless our time together. May you bless our time of service that follows. And may you bless the worship that happens today. This we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.